You're listening to Cool and Unusual Punishment presents Chosen. This is episode 11. My name is Tyler, and joining me as always, my co-host, Jody. How are you?
Great. So what are we talking about tonight?
Well, Jody.
Yeah, what do you have for us?
What are we talking about tonight?
At the top, let me clarify that Chosen is a series discussing the spiritual abuse that happened at Valley Brook Church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin during a very particular period of time, which officially ended with a lot of resignations in 2015-2016. It is not a commentary on the church as it is today. So what we're talking about in this episode is sort of two different things. I have two things at the top that are sort of a continuation of the resignations episode, I guess you would say. And then we're going to talk about the X-Men.
I love Logan.
Is that your favorite?
He's my favorite X-Man.
All right. So the very first episode of the series, we had the rundown on the crisis intervention team findings, right? It was those page after page of issues, right? And then we went back, and now we're kind of at the point again where things have gone south on account of the Chosen paper and the knitted relationships and a lot of other microaggression problems that everybody was experiencing, or a lot of people were experiencing. So after that, on the 24th of March in 2015, there was an email sent to Doug. That email was sent from one of the overseers at the church. And it says, "Good afternoon, Doug. This email is to request your presence, and assuming that would be unavailable due to your location."
This is after he's resigned, right? Because that was in February?
Yes.
Okay.
And his house was on the market by February 27th, 2015. And when I say his house was on the market, but they, meaning Nate and his family and Doug and his family, fled the state quickly after that. And apparently they had been talking about moving to Grapevine, Texas. That's where they went first after all of this happened, where a relative was pastoring a church. But obviously, the plan was not to be going there in February of 2015. It was like a long-term plan, right? So this is being sent to him like a month later almost, you know.
With what sounds like maybe a little bit of assumption that you might be or already have fled town.
Yeah, that's why you'll see here, assuming that would be unavailable due to your location, to instead schedule a conference call this Saturday, March 28th. This time would be to review rather than debate the findings and recommendations of the report facilitated and compiled by the crisis intervention team. The desire is to go over the findings, come alongside of you in Christian love, and implore you to do three things. Write a written letter of apology that will be read at an appropriate time before the congregation. Enter into a pastoral restoration process headed by Converge Great Lakes with no promise of restoration to full-time vocational ministry. To not take any full-time vocational ministry position prior to the completion of the restoration process. How do you think that went?
Well, okay. My first thought is that this email seems to be requesting an amount of humility that up until now has not been shown whatsoever.
The time available for a personal meeting or a conference call with the Valley Brook overseers and Dr. Dwight Perry, that's from Converge, is at either 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. CST. Please indicate the time that would work for you. It is by conference call then. Please provide a number that you can be reached at. If you decide to decline this meeting, please indicate that as well. Please reply by 5 p.m. Thursday. Response comes back March 26, 2015. I respectfully decline your request to conference call with Dr. Perry and the two remaining overseers this coming Saturday. Previously, I was told that the findings of the report would be preliminary and that each person named in the report would be given the opportunity to refute the findings. I now understand from your email that this is no longer the case and that I am only being offered a chance to learn of the findings on Saturday and consequently submit to the committee's three recommendations, which you have outlined for me in your email. In the past 5 days, two overseers and three pastoral members resigned their positions because they cannot support the procedures, conclusions, and recommendations of the Crisis Intervention Team assemblage by Converge Great Lakes. All five of these key leaders have loved the Valley Brook community with their whole hearts, yet in good conscience, they no longer feel they can support the direction the church is now headed. This grieves me greatly. As a member of the overseer team for 9.5 years, these past 7 weeks are the first time I can remember the overseers abandoning the principle that the overseers of a Valley Brook Church speak as one voice. Oofda. This unifying principle provided us with safety and wisdom. Time and time again, we were patient and loving with each other, only moving ahead once everyone was on board. It breaks my heart to watch that unity abandoned. Listen, this isn't like 12 angry men here.
I mean, maybe he's right. I don't know what if overseers generally are supposed to speak with one voice, but the fact that they aren't, like, he's the subject of the entire investigation.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't like all this chaos that's going on. I have never seen this before.
While I cannot submit to the recommendations of Converge Great Lakes, I do want to openly share my heart with you. I'm highly aware of the devastating nature of what has just occurred, and I'm currently evaluating my entire ministry at Valley Brook with great sobriety and introspection. My family has sought refuge and healing within a church body that theologically aligns with our beliefs and practices. We have submitted ourselves to the leadership of their church with their full knowledge of what has transpired at Valley Brook. So in 1 month's time, they were able to find this. I have no desire or plans to re-enter pastoral ministry, even though this is all I've known for the past 28 years. The fact that I am very close to completing my Doctor of Education seems helpful as I explore new career paths in my calling together with Nate. We are focused on making the most of our severance agreement with Valley Brook, meeting with godly men and women who can offer wise counsel as we diligently seek the face of God for a new direction in vocation. We chose to be thankful stewards of the resources we have been given.
Obviously, a lot of that isn't totally honest, but even the suggestion that, look, I'm getting out of pastoral work. Me and Nate will be applying together to some new jobs.
Yeah. And listeners don't know now because this is yet to come, but he definitely wastes no time re-entering pastoral ministry, okay? Like, there is some fascinating stuff that happens, and that's just not true. And honestly, like, not to, I mean, I got to finish, you know, we got a lot to cover, but let me just say that if you had something like this happen, like, this would be considered a trauma for everybody involved to some degree, right? And their suggestions are meant to help somebody get to a point where they might be able to do something like this again. And the fact that you don't do that, it reminds me, if anybody listened to Lugan Build, which is probably most of you, remember how the State Theater was getting a notice posted for 20 grand to Excel. And at that time, in real time, what was happening is that Joe Luganbill was already looking for a new job to start doing the same thing somewhere else. Like, that's what this reminds me of. It's like, you should chill out for a second, right? Like, what have you done?
Both of them had statements to the effect that would give you the sense that, like, I'm self-reflecting, I'm stepping back to really think about, and, like, total smokescreen.
Yes.
Just by in time to go to get out of town.
I mean, how do I always find myself looking into people who have the same deal?
I can't wait to find out what Doug Lipczak's new alias is. By the way, I was going to say, I guess it's a small part, but in that reply, he says that he found a new church that matches his theology. We have gone over his theology in great detail, and I do not believe that. You found a church that meshes well with you being like the lost son of God.
Well, apparently the first church was a relative who was pastoring a church, so maybe there's some genetic bond, you know? All right. Next month, I turn 50. I have lost almost everything imaginable. My reputation, my career, my resume, my church, my home, and my community. His wife, Robin, has laid down her dream job, and with it, her income and our health insurance. All we have left is our faith in God and our love for each other, which are the eternal things that matter most. We are clinging to our trust in God's sovereignty, that He is continuing to write our story, and that His love will not fail us. I am deeply sorry and offer my wholehearted repentance to anyone who I wounded with my words. I humbly ask their forgiveness as individuals, as well as the forgiveness of the Valley Brook Church community. From the bottom of my heart, I repent. And moving forward, I'm very aware of the changes that need to take place in my communication with others. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I choose to make those changes. However, I do not apologize for what Nate and I taught you.
However,
taught you from God's word week after week. I do not apologize for healing ministries like Wounded and Pure, although Wounded was like a separate bullet point of abusive
what
issues.
Do you apologize for if it's not those things?
I do not apologize for the way I invested in our pastoral staff, overseers, and church leaders. I do not apologize for my obedience to the Holy Spirit. I do not apologize for speaking the truth in love. I do not apologize for taking big risks to see people's lives transformed. I do not apologize for the life change that God brought to many people's lives over the past 10 years. Most of all, I do not apologize for being knit to Nate and living out our calling together. And my wife and I do not apologize for legally adopting him as our son, which is one of the greatest joys our entire family has ever experienced. For me, it comes down to this. One day, I have to stand before Jesus. I have to look him in the eyes and own what I did with what I've been given. In my heart and mind, the anticipation of that moment is the driving force of my life every day. And this last part did come up in the knitting episode,
yes.
Because then he goes on to tell the person he's writing this to, the overseer, how much he loves his whole family, the biological ones and the knit ones.
Okay.
I want nothing but the best for you and the Valley Brook Church moving forward. Respectfully, Doug. Well, before we get to the X-Men, there's something else of interest that I thought everybody would like to hear about. So, of course, this is all happening, and it's not happening in a total vacuum. The Leader Telegram, which is the local paper for the Eau Claire area, did do a series of stories on this, which I have used a bit of their stuff that we've linked. That was going to be happening, and Valley Brook was in a position to have a press release. So this below is what Valley Brook sent to people on April 17th, 2015 in the congregation to let them know what was going to be released publicly. And the Nate that's here is not Doug's Nate. This is a Nate who is actually still at Valley Brook.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. The Leader Telegram is doing a story in Valley Brook this weekend, and this email is to let you know what was given to them by leaders of Valley Brook. The first paragraph is a press release, and the second part is a written statement that Tim gave them, somebody else on the team. We don't know what they will use of this, but we wanted to openly communicate with you ahead of time what was given to them from current leaders. Let's continue to pray for God's will to be done at Valley Brook and give God praise for who He is. Press release. Valley Brook Church has a long history of investing in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and considers it a privilege to be a light of hope and change. We seek to understand the teachings of the Bible and apply them in practical ways to daily life. In the pursuit of living the Christian life, we value transparency and integrity. That is why it has saddened the leadership of Valley Brook Church to become aware of a pattern of dysfunction and spiritual abuse, which started with its pastoral leaders and overseers and worked its way down to the congregation.
The leadership is devastated to discover spiritual abuse among ourselves. Truly devastating.
With the help of the leadership of Converge Great Lakes, we have begun the process of review and confrontation of our key pastoral staff. To date, all four of our key pastoral staff have tendered their resignations. We are reviewing our personnel policies and procedures to make sure that these kinds of issues never happen again. It is clearly evident that God has done many good things at Valley Brook Church. With the help of a transitional leadership team, we aim to restore the heart of Valley Brook Church and once again be a light in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. All right, then Pastor Tim, part of this transitional team, had this statement. While Valley Brook Church is experiencing some transition, there is hopeful anticipation about the future. There is a united core of people who are resolved to pursue meaningful community with one another while also seeking to be a blessing to others in the Chippewa Valley. As a downtown church, there is an explicit desire to be intentional about loving the city of Eau Claire. For example, quote, our city is a city initiative that provides opportunity for the congregation to show love to the downtown area where the church is located. Along with other community partners and volunteers, many from Valley Brook will serve downtown Eau Claire by cleaning, planting, doing some construction work, and beautifying the downtown area through this project. So there is a desire to experience loving community inwardly while compassionately caring for the neighbors in the Chippewa Valley. The overall ministry of the church will continue to be built on several distinctive, quote, circles of priority and some core values that have characterized the church for much of her history. The longing of leadership is that Valley Brook Church becomes the healthiest, quote, Valley Brook she can be for the glory of God and the joy of the people. The people in the church are intent on seeing Jesus treasured, people cared for and renewed, and the good news of the gospel touch lives in relevant ways. Pastor Tim Haugen has come in the last couple of weeks to serve as an interim lead pastor. Pastor Tim has recently served a church in Owatonna, Minnesota. He has 30 years of pastoral experience as a youth pastor, teaching pastor, and lead pastor. He has experiences in coming alongside churches that are candidates for revitalization. Though Tim has never been a resident of Eau Claire, he has deep family ties here. His grandparents are all buried in Forest Hill Cemetery. The graves of the two sets of grandparents are 10 yards apart. His parents grew up in the city. They both attended Eau Claire High School, and his dad was a member of an Old Abe's basketball team in 1946. Additionally, Pastor Tim enjoys friendship with the pastors who were so instrumental in planting Valley Brook Church 22 years ago. He is sobered when he reflects on the prospect of serving in a city that has meant so much to him over the years. So that is what they released in response to everything. And before we move forward, I dare say we must go backward a bit and talk about the X-Men. This is going to be an interesting little look at a series of emails between all of the members of the X-Men, which you will find out what the X-Men are in just a minute here, okay? This was all shared to me by a member of the X-Men. His name's Matt Irwin. He was one of the OG X-Men, and he has quite a few of the email exchanges. Some of them I'm sharing just because there's, in totality, there is an odd vibe to this. On their own, some of them might seem kind of like not a big deal, but I think you'll understand what I mean as we go through it.
Can I ask when
this started?
Yeah, what is the timeline of these?
Starts in June of 2012.
Okay.
That's when the first email is going to come about, okay? Below what I'm going to read is Matt's commentary on this. This is the first official email I could find describing what began as the Lead Pastors Leadership Council. Lead Pastors Leadership Council.
Well, I can see why they changed the name.
LPLC. This email set in June of 2012 was before Nate Hagedorn, before he was knit to Doug, and before he became a member of the group. So this is Matt's commentary, and there's a few places like that. I'll just make sure to specify what's the actual email and gotcha. What's the intro to it. And this is continuing the intro to this. After attending Valley Brook for just under 2 years, Doug rode by us, Matt and his wife, while we were at Violet Park with our kids. He circled back and explained that such a chance meeting was definitely a God thing. He had been thinking about us for a while, and God told him to go back. Doug mentioned that he was in the process of forming a group in order to support him as a pastor, as leadership can be hard and lonely. He said that he had been thinking about asking me to join, and that our chance meeting had just further confirmed that.
Okay, so we can safely assume there's no chance that that was a coincidence, him riding by in that moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then Matt says, in my youth, I had been friends with several pastor kids and saw how the laity of the United Methodist Church I grew up in treated them. I told Doug I would be happy to support him with prayer and encouragement and join the LPLC. He told me he would be in touch via email before leaving. At the time of this email, I'm going to redact the other names because, as you're going to find out, this was kind of a secret group. So this was not, the X-Men was not something that everybody at the church knew about.
So the X-Men is made up of staff in
not
the church.
Not staff. Oh. The X-Men is made, Matt was never a staff. The X-Men was made up of strategically chosen members of the church that were strategic for what I would think is a number of reasons. Okay. Perhaps
but giving it the benefit of the doubt, at least taking it at face value now, what he's proposing is a group of people. Mm-hmm. Were there any staff, or was it specifically?
There were some staff.
So it's a mix of people.
It's a mix of people
that he likes, that he wants to support him as pastor, because being pastor is lonely. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, all right. Then it is weird, isn't it?
At the time of this email, names redacted, was a volunteer with the middle school youth group and later went on to be the middle school youth group leader. It was his observation at an LPLC meeting several months in that we all had special gifts like the X-Men. Thus, Doug and the rest of the group started calling us the X-Men. Redacted eventually was knitted to
Cyclops.
To somebody else who still remains at Valley Brook as a pastor of spiritual formation now. Last time Matt spoke to this pastor, he still upheld the spiritual idea of knitting, but admitted that it had just gotten out of hand. So that is my asterisk to my commentary, and I definitely do not want to go into this very much, okay? All I'm saying is that I find it interesting that somebody who was at Valley Brook during that period of time knitted, who is still there now, upheld the idea and said it got out of hand. The only reason also why some of this is coming up is, like, this is the cast of characters for the X-Men. So that first person is the one who had the X-Men idea. And then there was, like, the little asterisk that they were knitted to somebody that's still at the church, right. Okay? Then there's somebody else redacted who was the prayer warrior.
That's what I'm talking about.
The train conductor that made sure the way was cleared and provided direction. Do I have to clarify that the direction always was in concert with Doug's? And then there's another redacted. This is an interesting one. Redacted is a local chiropractor who originally met with Doug in hopes to form a symbiotic relationship as encouraged by Redacted's Maximized Living franchise. Maximized Living is a problematic organization as well. They are a wellness...
MLM. Yeah. I gathered as much from the name.
Yeah. In this first meeting, Redacted approached Doug in hopes to find a patient base and support physical health in the church. In typical Doug fashion, he quickly turned the tables on Redacted and shamed him for attempting such an ask.
Oh my God.
However, in practice, Doug touted the chiropractor regularly from the stage, allowed him to run small groups based on the Maximized Living book, quote, Cruise Ship or Nursing Home, The Five Essentials of a Maximized Life, and led exercises prior to various church meetings.
Okay, hold on. So publicly, this worked perfectly. Like, two grifters found each other and like mixed audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Privately, Doug outgrifted him by recognizing the grift and pulling a Doug and shaming him by pulling him into his abuse web.
That
is crazy.
Oh. Well, wait for it. Redacted eventually marketed Maximized Living supplements, protein shakes, etc. to Doug and Nate. Doug and Nate had a special refrigerator that held such products. This was brought up during the financial report, which we have yet to get to, as church funds had been used to purchase such products exclusively for Doug and Nate.
I mean, I guess I'm not surprised, but after all the really heavy theological abuse we've talked about, there's also a fridge full of supplements.
Oh, the really? Financial stuff is...
Of course, there was also a little bit of this, too.
Oh, fridge full of stuff, hundreds of dollars paid in parking. I mean, it's...
I am knit to this parking meter, that's why. Oh, okay.
Here's another person. After Doug convinced this person, Redacted, that he needed to resign as a manager at Walmart, he set him up helping with and working at the other guy's business. And Doug eventually helped knit these two together, okay? And then, of course, there is Redacted, who's a woman. Her husband was also involved at the church, okay? But not in this group. Then this is Matt's commentary, okay? To say that both of them, both the husband and wife, look to install themselves as leader is an understatement. Apparently, her husband was very jealous that he was not part of this group. I have no idea what was going on in Doug's head in relationship to this decision, but I bet he had a reason. Redacted saw herself as a bold truth teller and a leader, which did come up before, if you recall. Okay.
She was like a Jean Grey.
Who's that?
It's an X-Men.
Oh. All right. So Doug sends out an email to these people that I just...
Right.
Okay. Subject, Lead Pastors Leadership Council. Hello, everyone. I am pleased to let you know that we are ready to proceed with our newly formed Lead Pastors Leadership Council. I'm very excited about the people that God has led to be a part of this. As a team, you represent a broad cross-section of the Valley Brook community, and it is going to be our privilege to learn how to lead together for God's glory. Each of you has been gifted with a spiritual gift of leadership. Although you are all at different places in understanding how that is to function and flow within our church. And that's what this team is all about, raising up a new generation of church leaders to help me oversee the spiritual and relational health of the Valley Brook Church community, while helping to encourage and care for me, as well as the rest of the pastoral staff. I would like to say one thing. It would be a wise thing for you not to necessarily advertise this at church. It will all surface in due season, and sometimes this sort of thing can breed jealousy in those who are not a part of it. I'm thinking I wouldn't have to say that with this group because you already get things like this, but I figured it couldn't hurt as we start. I've ordered a couple of books for each of you, which arrived today. All that's left is to set up our first meeting time. By the way, here's the team in no particular order, and he lists them out. So what about our first meeting? I'm wondering if next week some evening would be too short of notice or if we might be able to pull something together. The following week, I am gone to school in Tulsa, so we would need to put it off 2 more weeks, which is fine. I'm going to suggest that we try to do this using reply all. Bad idea. And then he gives a bunch of times. Let us know if any of these are a possible go for you, and we'll take it from there. I'm very encouraged about this, and you are going to love, in caps, each other. Doug Lebsack, lead pastor, Valley Brook Church, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Okay, so one of the people who responds to this says, Pastor Doug, this sounds awesome. I'm actually leaving this Monday for a month working in Germany. I won't be back until the 10th of July, but I hope that won't keep the rest of you from meeting. Thanks so much for putting this together. This is the live active response to the Matt 28 call to make disciples who make disciples, or what I like to call the disciple cycle. Thanks for being obedient. All right, that was the first email. X-Men email 2.
I don't care for this. I don't really have the words for it yet, but all of it is weird.
Yes, and when all of these. Yeah, and like this is a very manipulative, abusing thing to be like, don't tell anybody about this. It's strange to read these because there is. Like, you can tell that people really are fully immersed in this cycle of this. Well, the next email is September 17th, 2012.
Okay.
And this is from Doug. And it's basically, some of these I won't read word for word. But he says, good morning, team. I hope you can forgive my lack of communication since our last meeting. I was walking through my written and oral comps for my doctorate, and since they come once in a lifetime, I figured I should give them my full attention. But I am back, feeling very filled with by God's goodness through the whole process, and I'm ready to engage with all of you. I'm very, very excited about this group. So what I want to do first is get all of our dates together for this fall. Once we have confirmed that you can all make it, then I will hand out your first reading assignments, and we will come prepared for whatever God has for us. So November 14th, the guy who gave up his job at Walmart writes to everybody, hey, everyone, incredible meeting again tonight. This group is so awesome to be a part of. I just wanted you all to have my number to call or text if you ever need to be loved. I was going to get some of your, it must be maybe yours, he meant, out of the directory, but realized those may be your home numbers. Please reply with all of your cell numbers so we can reach out to each other. My cell is, and he gives it, and then he writes, I love you all. December 11th, 2012, the chiropractor writes, miss you and love you all. And that was in response to an email from Doug on the same day, just like 15 minutes before that. Hey, team of people that I love, aka X-Men. Well, the inevitable has happened. I guess it had to happen sometime. We are going to need to cancel our meeting for Wednesday night. The good news is that Redacted won't miss anything now. I'm sorry for the late notice. I will be sending out a schedule for 2013 with readings and all of that stuff shortly. I can't tell you how much I love all of you. Please find me on Sunday and let's hug a lot. Your face.
You know, I was just saying, I'm curious to find out what this group does or is. And the very next series of emails doesn't answer that question, but is coded in weird, gratuitous love and affection.
Yes.
And it's like, there's so much dressing, and I don't know what's underneath it yet.
Well.
We're going to hug secretly and strongly.
January 2nd, 2013. Howdy, wonderful people I love. And this is from Doug.
It's exhausting. These are exhausting emails.
Here it is, the schedule for our LPLC meetings for spring. I'm very excited to see all that God has for us this year, as well as to dive into the book, Leading with a Limp. You're going to love it. Okay. X-Men number 6. This is one that Matt shared with me, but it has commentary at the beginning, okay? And it starts with barf. It's hard looking back at these messages. He was not a healthy leader. He did not lead with a limp. He led with a surety, false humility, and abuse to those who dared question him. However, by the time you figured it out, you were already on your way out, if not on your own volition, because he used those still loyal to him too. And then it like got blanked out, but I think it was, you know.
Sure. I was going to say, it's interesting how much this mirrors Grant's resignation.
Yeah.
People on the outside looking back, like, it seems very, there's a lot of sober clarity of what's going on. Yeah.
He didn't have friends. He had those he could benefit from socially and monetarily, and those who were loyal, who would do what he said he needed. So this is an email that Matt actually sent to Doug, and this was the commentary he wrote ahead of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, in retrospect, this is not an email he's very proud that he sent. Hi, Doug. Wanted you to know I'm thinking of you today. My wife and I drove by your house today to deliver a meal to one of your neighbors. They just had a baby. Also decided to turn on the Oldies Country Music channel today and heard a song mentioning Tulsa, Oklahoma. Must be where Doug is from. There are probably tons of them, I know. Please don't judge. I listen to a lot of different genres. Really enjoyed the required reading today. Yep, I'm still reading and learning a lot. I'm so glad we are friends. I'm so happy that you are our pastor. I'm so proud of you for leading with a limp. Hope today is a good day for you. Looking forward to seeing you soon. Thanks so much for your love and friendship. Love you, Matt. So you could see, like, Doug was very effective at what he did, right?
Yeah, and it does seem like he was getting what he wanted. If this is a group that's purpose is to support him, a lonely pastor with love and support. Yeah, that's what he's getting out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the next one, also has a commentary on it from June 12th, 2013. I think this is the first email that includes Nate. As Doug became knitted to him, he started coming to the X-Men meetings. After all, they were knitted, inseparable. So somebody that I redacted the name and I had gone through wounded together by this time, somebody else who was in this X-Men group, I'm redacting their name, was abusively leading a wounded group that my wife was in. The rest of the X-Men had either gone through wounded or planned on going through it. By this time, I had started dreading going to each meeting. Something didn't feel right to me. Yet, by the end of each meeting, I once again was soothed into thinking everything was okay. I don't remember having a definitive reason why I felt that way. As an evangelical, you chalk up such feelings as spiritual attacks or the flesh being weak and therefore put aside and or you dismiss any true reservations you might have. I kept going despite such feelings. Looking back, I wish I could have listened to my body and intuition more. The grill out mentioned below on the 19th was one of the dreaded events. June 12th, 2013. Hello, awesome people we love. Nate and I were talking this morning, and we realized that we didn't actually set dates for our summer X-Men meetings. So here are the proposed dates. Wednesday, June 19th, 7 p.m. Doug's house for a grill out. And then there's a bunch of other dates on there. We're hoping you can all come for the grill out next Wednesday so we can cook for you. Yes, redacted and redacted. We promise to have clean, healthy God food. Probably organic, grass-fed turnip soup for you two or something like that. Hopefully these dates will work for you. God is doing a lot with this team of leaders and we're excited to catch up. Love you all, Doug and Nate.
Well, that's some fun ribbing of the vegan couple in their group.
So, this is sent to the group by one of the X-Men, November 26, 2013. Hi, friends. Looking forward to seeing you all tomorrow night. God has been doing a lot of stuff in me lately, but rooting out selfishness and dying to myself has been a big theme as of late. And very recently, leadership and discipline have been heavy on my heart. We're all leaders, but I've been questioning myself lately about how much I seek to develop myself and others in leadership. I've been thinking about how we can encourage each other and learn from each other and others with regards to leadership. I'm not sure what that looks like, but I think we should start thinking and praying about that. What are your thoughts? Love you all. And the chiropractor writes back, I think that's a fantastic idea. I used to work hard on developing myself as a leader, but I haven't done a whole lot the last year or so, probably since he's been in the X-Men. So this is one of the last things. This is a little... stick with me here, okay? Because this kind of... it's in the moment, and then there's reflection.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a sensitive topic. Okay. May 1st, 2014. And so this is Doug and Nate sending an email to the administrative coordinator at Valley Brook, okay? It says, could you help us out, please? Last night at the X-Men meeting, the subject of new people came up, and one of the members wanted their names so the prayer group could pray for them. Matt wanted their names and contact information because we are looking at starting a small group for some of these people. So here are the names. Could you provide phone numbers and email addresses and then email it back to us? Thanks, Doug and Nate. And then there's a list of people.
Okay, so I got to clarify what's happening for me here. They're talking about new people to the church, and they want... like the details of those people because they want to pray for them.
They're already going to intend on praying for them. So they wanted their names for that purpose.
Right.
The contact information is for Matt, who shared this stuff because he wanted to start a small group for some of these people. It'll be clear in a minute what the group's intentions are for. But at this point, because there's some of these people, it's like, oh, a new member group. You're hurting.
Sure.
Type thing. So they get the list from the administrative person. They then are passing this on to the person for the prayer group and to Matt for the small group. Are we on board?
Yeah.
Here's the list. Matt, these couples all have extensive spiritual abuse wounds and are recently or are very new to Valley Brook. Well, that's a bummer to hear. I mean, I don't mean to laugh about it, but boy, of all the places to end up. In addition, and then this is directed towards the guy who's doing the prayer group part of this. Please be praying for redacted, new believer and standing up in his God created identity, healing from cancer and divorce, her sons, and pray for her sons to come to Valley Brook. So one of the people, like, and of course this will be redacted, but it's tricky because there's somebody on this list of people that's new, that's a problematic person. I'm not going to say their name here, but there is going to be a news story with the person in it.
Okay.
So then Matt sends to me, he sent me this, right? And then, like, here's a little commentary about all this. And he says he doesn't remember the conversation behind me starting a small group for new people with a history of spiritual abuse. But there's the list of names. Praying for people is a great way that prayer groups gossip in churches. I think Redacted, the guy wanting to do that, was actually genuine and wanting to help and believed his prayers would actually do something. I believed this to be true at the time as well. So one of the new people, you know, that new addition, became a member of X-Men during 2014. He was a former high school classmate of somebody else in the group, the chiropractor. And the chiropractor was helping this person get into shape. A lot of emphasis was put on this new member's unhealthy lifestyle and obesity.
The guy tasked with helping this guy get in shape is the guy who sells health and lifestyle supplements? Okay, yeah. Understood.
Coincidentally.
Yeah.
So this is my one exception to the not talking about the people on that prayer list.
Right.
Because one of those people, a year later, in April 3rd, 2015... the news story headline is, can you read that?
Underage sexting leads to prison, jail.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, a member of that prayer group a year later was part of a sexting led by local police. He thought he was meeting a 15-year-old girl at a gas station. He had condoms in his pocket. He was buying lubricant and got in trouble, okay? The disturbing thing about this is not so much that. So the year before, this guy joins the church and is identified as being somebody who needs help, which... Sure.
Right, right. Yep. Yes.
The disturbing thing is what I'm going to tell you here, okay? Once Valley Brook broke up, you know, 2015, this guy that gets busted in this sex thing, who identifies himself as being a sex addict, was put in charge of the sexual addiction group at Valley Brook.
Oh, my God.
This is while he was still a registered sex offender, shortly after his release from jail. There was a long list of concerns that my wife and I had at the time. To make a long story short, another still current Valley Brook pastor wrote of the concerns by telling our pastor at the time that he knows that this guy in question would have not gone through with it and actually had sex with this young girl.
Is this the logical extreme endpoint of the mentality of taking in broken people, reforming them? Like, was it intentional? This guy was problematic, needed to be prayed for, was a sex offender. He is the one who should lead the sexual abuse group.
That was probably their thinking, but that is completely inappropriate. Oh,
it's insane. But yeah.
Yes. I'm sure that was... Like, who better, you know, to lead than somebody? And then, of course, you wander into territory of you have a sex offender who's on the sex offender registry. Like, when were these groups being held? Were there youth of any kind in like the same building at that point? Because like that is not okay. And I guess I have to point out again that that happened after like the Valley Brook that we are largely reporting on, like, ceased to be.
Yeah, I was reminded of that, too, that this, it feels like it's something that's happening over a decade or something, but this is, most of this happening in, like, 2 years, leading right up, and this is 2014, 2015, this is leading right up into the crisis intervention, right?
Yeah, April 3rd, 2015, this guy gets into trouble. That's right around the time when Valley Brook, as we know it, during that period of time, is no longer a thing.
Things are ramping up. Very quickly at the end of 2014
and into 2015. And then this guy like finishes whatever punishment he has, he then is leading a small group on sex addiction at a church. It's hard to remain unbiased about a tidbit like that. So the last email that was shared is this is like before Chosen like hits the mainstream at Valley Brook, the Chosen paper we've talked right. about. It is also sent to the X-Men. Okay. So they got it on January 4th, 2015. They see the Chosen paper. Okay. Which is, I think right as it was, maybe it was right as it was hitting everybody, but they were going to discuss it as at the X-Men meeting separately.
Right, you got to float your new material to the stand-up friends in your group before you take it out on stage. Yeah.
And there are a few other new names I notice on here, like of the X-Men, but it's not really important. You know, people came and went, and I guess like they Bones, had to fill.
Chumbawamba. White Lotus.
The email itself.
The chiropractor.
So the email is really just the sharing of that. Yeah. It's the commentary on that, which I think is the bulk of this. Yeah. Okay. This was the first time I saw the Chosen document. This really set my wife and I for a tailspin. It was shared with the X-Men and we met to discuss it at the next X-Men meeting. So there were some new members that are included on that email, And Matt just wanted to acknowledge that they had been added to the group sometime in the second half of 2014. One of those people was the co-leader with me in our Wounded Couples Life group. I think Doug was trying to knit the two of us together. And that's one of the names that's been added to the X-Men group. If you haven't noticed, knitting was not a unique thing that Nate and Doug did. My eyes are rolling in the back of my head. It was something Doug and Nate encouraged and slyly set someone up for. This person had been friends with Nate before Doug sucked him into his knitted relationship. Doug told us that he kicked this person away from having a friendship with Nate because this guy wasn't good for Nate. Doug did a great job of isolating people from Nate. But somehow this guy eventually came back to Doug and made nice, eventually affirming his knit relationship with Nate. And this guy was a good guy. He was also a good guy for Doug to have around. He was quiet, a gentle giant, a former Marine who was loyal to his friends, and he gave validation to Doug and Nate's shit crazy knitted relationship. Doug also helped this guy and his wife separate from her parents and then helped knit them to somebody else as their new parent and grandmother. I don't remember too much of the meeting in which we discussed the chosen paper. My wife and I had already been researching Calvinism versus Arminianism and had started reading a book on churches that were pushing a neo-Calvinism that had many similarities with Doug's treatise. I remember one of the members being one of the only other X-Men members to take issue with mankind's total depravity, being unable to respond to salvation, and only a small few being elect. Doug told him that he didn't have a choice in the matter and that he should be happy that he was chosen. I remember asking him about John 3:16, noting that God so loved the world and that whosoever come to him shall not perish. Doug said that verse was only talking about the elect in the world, not the entire world. This is a traditional Calvinist view, but it definitely was a pivot from what I had come to understand. Furthermore, when I laid out my questions, Doug followed up with, "Matt, I thought you understood the idea of God's sovereignty and being chosen more than anyone here. I really don't know how," and this is one of the other new people, "came to be in the X-Men. She just started coming one day. Doug definitely picked someone who would remain loyal to him." And then that's it.
I guess I'm wondering if the purpose of the X-Men group was to, if there would have been pushback from overseers or other leadership, this would have been a way to sort of implant your ideas and theology in the church, with like doing an end around of the staff and leadership by having this other group that is self-selected, that kind, and then you plant the ideas there, and then that gets around to the church without having to, like, I don't know how church leadership decides its direction and stuff, but
yeah.
But I imagine the chosen paper would have been problematic.
Yeah. And like, we had talked briefly about like the Calvinism and all of that had come up when that paper came up. And certainly we don't need to get into a big lesson on that here. However, like Matt said there, like, you know, identifying like this is a neo-Calvinistic look at things, but it's such a pivot from, like, imagine, you know, it would be like being in a relationship with somebody and like suddenly one day they're different from what you encountered the day before. It would be like somebody had hijacked their brain, you know? So yeah, there might be another episode with some more of these emails, because I know that this group continues for a little period of time here, although here we're at, you know, the beginning of the end, really, with the chosen paper thing. So there you have it.
This wasn't as fun as the movies.
So we'll be back. We have so much left to cover. I appreciate everybody for following us on this journey. I know, you know, we are 11 episodes in and definitely are nowhere near being finished yet. So thanks for listening. See you next time.
Stay tuned. Chosen is presented by Cool and Unusual Punishment. Research and interviewing by Jody Haas, with editing and mixing by Tyler Haas. Our theme music for this series is by Zavely. You can find more music by him on Apple Music. Just search for Zavely, X-A-V-L-Y. This podcast is a proud member of the Nerd and Tie Network, a coalition of Wisconsin-produced shows that you can find at nerdandtie.com. You can also join the discussion in the forums at nerdandtie.social. You can reach us directly by sending us a message on our Facebook page or by emailing us at mail@coolandunusualpunishment.com. You can find links to all of these things and more in our show notes by visiting our website, coolandunusualpunishment.com. I am knit to this parking meter, that's why.
Oh, okay.